Blog Talk Radio.
The Ata Ewakan, sacred wind, you are like the great mystery, moving in all places, in all people, in all things. You cannot be seen, yet we feel your presence and see your power in the dancing prairie grass and the flight of the eagle. Whisper to our spirits. Help us to find wisdom once again. We are made of earth, fire, water, wind. We share one earth, one sun, and one moon. Let us live together as one people. Help us, great mystery, to mend the sacred hoop, to heal our brokenness, and to find once more our place in the web of life.
Listening to Messages of Light. I'm Amanda Dowell, your host every Monday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. So we are going to bring Sharon Blue onto our program today, and we're going to talk a little bit about what she has going on, what she does, and more. I met Sharon kind of at the Grand Slam in Fenton, Missouri, sort of. I've seen her, and other friends of mine have raved about her highly, so I'm looking forward to having her on my show. I've been excited counting down the days. Some announcements before we get started. You can check out the Superfood Coffee at javazen.co. It's a great coffee. It makes you feel good, and it doesn't give you the jitter, so check that out at javazen.co. My friends in St. Louis have some, so it's a really great coffee I wanted to announce on the show. And I wanted to put out Stages Wellness Holistic Center in Belleville. They have a great chiropractor and acupuncturist named Bridget Liebarger, and you can check them out at 325 East Main Street. So again, we're going to go back to Sharon Blue. She has a great book out about self-care. I'm looking forward to talking with her a little bit about readings and what she's up to. So her book looks really fabulous. I'm going to have to see what all kinds of things, if she has any other books out or whatever. You know, I'm very, very excited. So she does readings, and like I said, I've heard really good things about her readings, and I've seen her at a restaurant. I actually haven't had a reading, though. I'm looking forward to getting one in the future. So the second half of the show, we're going to take one question per caller. The phone number is 347-237-5339. Hit 1 on your keypad, and we'll take your call. So with that, we're going to bring Sharon onto the show. Welcome to the show, Sharon. How are you today?
Hi, I'm great. How are you? Thanks for that fabulous introduction.
Well, you're welcome. I'm so thrilled that you're joining me because I've heard such good things. I've never gotten to have a reading with you yet, but I've seen you. And so it's just exciting to have you on the show.
Thank you. Yes, I love what I do. I have such a great time doing it. And I have so many fantastic clients and friends who are very kind and have great things to say about me. So very grateful for that. But yes, happy to be here.
Thank you. Well, I'm happy you're here. And I'm very happy that you have a book out. Now, do you have anything coming up you want to share, like any events you're doing or, or any places you're going to be?
Oh, yes. Well, there's lots going on. I am on the last half of my maternity leave. We just had our third child in June. So I'm still taking a little bit of time hanging out, trying to get used to being outnumbered. But I'm going to be getting back into the swing of things. I will be back at Grand Slam Restaurant doing readings from 6 to 10 on Thursdays starting September 21st. So then I'll be back there every Thursday. I think there's only one Thursday in October I won't be there, but every Thursday in October or in September and October starting the 21st from 6 to 10 p.m., we do 30-minute readings for $30, and I am joined by the fabulous Kathy Hughes and Kyle Brayden.
Yes.
And
Kyle is
so
wonderful. Kyle is yes. Wonderful, and so is Kathy. I love them both. They're excellent
yes.
People. I've
oh,
seen
yeah.
you with
literally,
them, and yes.
Yes.
It's like
we
the
have
three
so
amigos.
Fun. Yes. We love it. We all do something a little different, and I think that's what makes Grand Slam so much fun on Thursdays, because you could truly get a reading from every single one of us, and they would be different in terms of the way that they are done and the way they're conveyed to you, but all
mm-hmm.
three of them would be extremely helpful and exactly what you need to hear. So I love that it's not redundant. It's not the same thing. It's all different, which we love. And we all have very different personalities, too. But
absolutely.
We're very good friends.
Well, I love Kyle. I met him. He is a wonderful, kind-hearted, happy, you know, just hanging out with him one day would be fun. I've known Kathy for centuries. I feel like we've had many lives together. I adore Kathy. She is a wonderful wonderful friend who's been there through thick and thin, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I'm grateful. And so, you know, when I saw you, I thought, man, I want to have you on my show, too. I had Kyle on, and Kathy's been a little busy, but thought, okay, I'm going to ask her, and I'm going to see. And I knew you took a leave for that beautiful baby. So I was like, I wonder when she's going to be able to come on. I hope soon. You know, so I am just humbled and grateful that you have decided to come on my show. You know, I'm really excited.
Yes, and so many events coming up because I have been out of commission for so long. So I have two events at a store called YarnCon Increase Core this September, the 22nd and the 23rd. I'll be there doing mini readings. Crystal Cafe is a fantastic crystal store in Ellisville, and I'm going to be there the last Sunday of the month. And then in October, I mean, spooky season is always crazy busy for me because everybody wants tarot readings. So I'm doing Vintage Market Days, which is a weekend event, October 13th through the 15th at the National Equestrian Center. Super fun. It's like all things Joanna Gaines. It's fantastic. And they have food and they have music and shopping. And then I'm there doing readings, and that's super fun. And then I'll be at the Witches of West County event on October 21st at Blasis Park as well. So lots of
fun. We might run into each other. Very nice. That's good.
Yeah. Tons and tons of fun things because I've been gone for so long, so I kind of had a backlog of events to get back to. But I am excited to be coming back. I've been, you know, super sleep deprived, but also like really missing doing my readings because they are such a part of who I am. I've been missing it, so I'll be happy to be back.
Well, you are just a very natural person. You know, that's what I liked about your vibe, even though I hadn't gotten to sit down with you yet. I'm making that a goal list. I'm going to actually, you know, sit down with you maybe at the Fenton place at the Grand Slam. But, you know, I just seen, you know, I thought she's really cool. She's really good. And she has this cool book out. Now, do you have more than one book out or just the one?
So this one just came out in April this year. So it's barely 6 months old. So this book is Self-Care is Not a Bubble Bath, the 4 S of Sustainable Self-Care That Works. And it's my first and newest published work, which I'm so happy I was able to get it out. My background is in mental health. My master's is in school counseling. I school counselor for 7 years in North County here in St. Louis. And self-care is one of the things that, you know, everyone talks about it. It was a thing in grad school. Yeah. All the professors were like, you need to have self-care if you're going to be a mental health professional. You have to take care of yourself. You have to tell your clients to take care of themselves. But there was no class of like self-care 101. It just did not exist. They just assumed you knew what it meant. And I've done my research and I've looked at as many books as I could find on self-care. And the problem was a lot of them were very personal anecdotes of here's a thing that worked for me, or they're very specific to like self-care for teachers or self-care for therapists. Or self-care for, like, first responders. And there wasn't a book that existed that was for the layperson that was also evidence-based.
You know, the therapist makes sense, but, you know, I think it's cool how you're a mental health person also. You know, I love that, and I love how intuitive you are because, you know, I'm a seer. And I feel, you know, I do lots of energy work and I've seen since I was little. And so, you know, knowing about how to do self-care, like, you know, what you could do to, you know, sit down to meditation before the radio show, for example, or take a salt bath. You know, I didn't have those little things, you know, like the step-by-step. You know, and I thought, for the intuitive, for the empath, which I'm very empathic, and I know you are because you're a really good mom, too. I've seen that. So you know, I kind of went, okay, we need an intuitive, psychic, step-by-step healer. You know, you might have, like, the guidebook for the massage therapist, but how cool is it that you came out with a self-care book for lay people?
Yeah, it was just needed. I think people have a really great idea of what self-care is, but then I think when you read my book, you kind of realize, oh my goodness, I was thinking about self-care in the wrong way, And now that I know what self-care is, oh my goodness, there are things that I've already been doing that count as self-care. And wow, here are the gaps, and here's why I haven't been feeling refreshed or recharged. These are the areas where I haven't been addressing, and I could add in something to help me. And so it breaks it down, super easy steps. There's like charts and visuals, and there's even journal prompts all throughout the whole book. So it's very interactive. So you just grab a notebook, grab the book, and then work through it. And by the end of the book, you will figure out where you're struggling and how to fix it. So, yeah.
I
and you
love
can get it
that.
On Amazon. Yes. And okay. Pathways also has copies as well. They have signed copies at Pathways. So.
Well, I was going to say, I have to get a signed copy because I haven't gotten to see you.
Yes. Yes, I did.
I mean, I've seen you, but, right, you know. Yeah, I went to Kathy, and I think you were really busy the first time I saw you. So do you have other books out besides this one?
Not yet, but I do have five books in the works.
Wow.
Yes. Well, this one is a micro book, and I just fell in love with the format of micro books.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided instead of writing one, like, really big, fat chunker of a book, I was just going to break up my next one into five micro books. So I just love the idea of a micro book. And then if someone wants to buy all of them together, then they can. And if not, you can just buy the one that works for you.
Right.
So I don't know when those will be ready. Kind of coming back from maternity leave, I just know is going to be a little crazy, a little hectic. So I think that's probably going to be a 2024 project for me. But I have the outlines, and it's percolating. And then I am going to be working on a workbook to go with my self-care book. I'm hoping
that's
to have
perfect.
It done by the end of the year. Yeah. So it'll be like a whole workbook with like the lines in it. So it's kind of like a guided journal / workbook, and it'll work in collaboration with my book.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do that. I'll do that. I will do the, you know, some of what I'm doing, which I know you do, it does help, but I think that if I went into your book, it would help me even more. So that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're doing something. It's really interesting. I just got that vibe from you. I think between the first time I saw you and then we kind of talked a little bit, are you going to write something with kids in it or something about kids at all, children?
I'm thinking about it. I haven't quite decided what that's going to look like yet, but it's in the back of my head as a thing I might do. I love the idea of tarot for kids.
Me too.
And I love
me too.
Teresa Reed. Yeah, Teresa Reed has a tarot for kids tarot deck, which I love. And the way that she has re-envisioned some of the cards to be more kid-friendly, like, are genius and amazing. But I also wish that, you know, there's a deck, but I wish there was like a kid's book that kind of explains tarot and how to use tarot, or like almost like a workbook for kids with tarot. Because I very much see tarot as like a self-development tool, and you can use it to ask yourself deeper questions and to come at problems from a different perspective. And I feel like that would just be a really useful tool for kids, especially with regard to emotions. Because, you know, with kids, being able to verbalize their emotions is really hard.
Yes.
And
you
that's
said
why you see
the
so
word right there.
Yeah.
I was one of those kids. And ever since, I find that what happens is lots of children, you know, kind of look at me and go towards that, and then they start telling me stuff, and I'm like, okay, we need to get some kind of a workbook. We need a tarot deck, because these kids are really talking. And, I mean, of course, back in the back in the days, you know, these kids in Asian, you know, and then they have the invisible friends. I was that kid. And so I get lots of that, you know, right back at me, and I'm going, wow, you know. And I saw you, and I thought, yeah, she's got something there. She's going to be talking about that or getting something out like that. That's going to be wonderful.
Yeah. I don't know when it'll happen. I'm kind of one of those people that I come up with a million ideas, and they're all fantastic, but then it's a matter of getting them all kind of into the world. That's the hard. The execution is the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
it'll happen.
That's what happens to me. I get into channel mode, and then I'm channeling music, I'm channeling pictures, I'm channeling auras, and I'm like, oh,
mm-hmm.
my gosh, you know, and I'm working with children, and yikes. Yeah, so that's like a big, big thing that it's like an ongoing project. You know, like you, I get these ideas, and it's like, wow, what do you do with that? But I can't wait to see some of the books you've got and some of the things you're writing. And, I mean, I just kind of intuitively knew you were like a really, really good mom. I went, yeah, look at that. She's very intuitive. She's showing her kids to be themselves, emotions, speak what they're feeling. You know, I mean, that's amazing.
Thank you. I try. It's not easy for sure. My oldest is, he's a Libra, and he's much better at verbalizing and being able to express, you know, how he's feeling and what's going on internally with him, and has much better coping skills. But my middle one, he is an Aquarius, and so he feels things very deeply, but then doesn't know how to express them or work through them. So
mm-hmm.
we get a lot of the outbursts and the throwing things
and
screaming and all of that jazz. So we really have to have a lot of patience in this house and try to find ways to help him find the words. That sounds like how I was,
the emotional, not really the expressor, but the
mm-hmm.
emotional. I went through that a whole lot, and it's very challenging and
mm-hmm.
interesting to work with, you know, some children like that.
Yep. Yeah. But I think, you know, that's where the intuition in, because I can kind of figure out what he's feeling, even though he can't say
mm-hmm.
it. And then I can find the words for him and try to coach him through it. So that's kind of what we do.
Yeah, that's really helpful.
But there's so many parents out there who don't, you know, their kids screaming or throwing things, and they're like, what's wrong? Why are you yelling? And the kids can't really explain why. Or if they do, it sounds really trivial. And so you have to kind of find the emotion behind it. So it's not just that, you know, so-and-so is playing with what you want to play with. It's you feel left out, or you feel jealous, or you feel... you know, like you don't have something to play with. No one's paying attention to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find the emotion behind and then try to address that. But, yeah, I think having some kind of tool that kids could use, you know, that's Tara is such an amazing tool. And so having something they could use, I think, would be helpful.
Yeah. You know, even, I mean, this is a little interesting. You know, what you find is sometimes – stuffed animals with kids, you know, as I got older, I worked with a stuffed animal. That's how early I was doing healing, that I got taught how to do healing, you know, distance healing on
mm-hmm.
a stuffed animal. Now I can just project and send, of course. But, you know, sometimes being a shaman, I will use, you know, an animal just to send the healing over. But, you know, that's a good way to work with kids as well.
Mhm. Oh yeah. No, I love that. Yep. Yep. Lots of good stuff. And I love being a mom. It's a lot of fun. It's challenging at times for sure, but I'm grateful for all of my kids.
Yeah. And I know all of them are intuitive too, you know. My experience was I met a blind psychic that kind of took me under her wing as a kid, as a teenager, and, you know, kind of being a little scared of that intuition. You know, she showed me I'm a mom, I have five kids, you know, they can do it too, you can, it's not really that scary. But, you know, sometimes it really scares them what, you know, what you see and what's in there. You know, you experience stuff. I'm sure you've had your experiences too.
Yep. Yeah. I think the biggest thing with them is when they are scared and they don't understand, making sure that they know that they get to be in control, that they can say, no, I don't want you here, or no, I need you to leave, or, you know, I don't want to see you, I don't want to hear you, you're not allowed here. Like, just trying to empower them to show that they have a choice. Cause, and I think that's every kid, whether they have gifts or not, being able to empower them to say, this is okay with me, or this is not okay with me. Because otherwise, when you teach kids, just because an adult tells you to do something, you have to do it, then you're kind of setting them up for failure later in life, because then if they're uncomfortable with something, they're not going to feel empowered enough to say no.
Well, and, you know, sometimes I'm sure you get these calls too. You know, you have the kid who's having nightmares or who's being bothered by, you know, the negative energy in the room. And then they need to know that Archangel Michael is on hand and he can come and help you if you ask him, which I have to ask him to help me drive sometimes, because I'm like, I'm so overwhelmed, I can't even drive, you know, because, I mean, all these intuitions, all these things, it's an interesting journey. I mean, I've even experienced hearing animals, and I don't mean like Kathy. You know, Kathy can intuitively feel, and I can too, but mine is so strong that I can hear what they say, kind of like, you know, I kept trying to, you know, how do you find what this is? You know, kids want to know what they can compare that to. Mine was Mr. Ed, you know, because he taught, I'm like, well, he taught, they taught, you know, and then you go as far as Dr. Doolittle, I'm like, that, yes, that's it, that's what I do, and it's so, you know, high-tuned. These kids are so high-tuned that they empathically can hear them or they can feel. I've done that with trees, and I'm just going, oh, my gosh, this is so incredible.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with kids, the ability is just so raw and pure. And I think as adults, you know, that's one of the biggest struggles is you get in your head much, hard to determine. What is intuition versus what is my fear talking versus what is my ego talking? And I think I teach tarot as well. And when I teach it, that's one of the big things that I focus on is building intuition, because it's not enough to know what the cards mean. You have to have a strong intuition so you can recognize what does this card in this placement mean for this person at this moment in time. It's all those things combined. And the only thing that connects all of that stuff is your intuition. You have to build the intuition first in addition to a base knowledge.
I'm the kid who asked, why are we using letters in the classroom instead of numbers? You know, and I was the kid that goes, the tarot is boring. It doesn't have nice pictures. You know, so then I became the child that was reading these cards, and I'm like, ew, I don't like these cards. So I went to Oracle cards, and I said, I like these cards. I can read art. You know, I'm the artsy kid. So I'm the out of the box, can feel the music, don't want to read the music, play the music, channeling. You know, and I get a lot of those kids that, you know, walk up to you and they go, what is this? You know, and so it's good that they have a tarot to, you know, or a little cards to help kids read, because, you know, they are so raw and so intuitive that, you know, I decided when I had this gift, it's like I'm not letting go of this, because healing and all that we do is so cool. It's so important. And so I love the way you read. I've heard you do very good readings, and you use lots of different techniques.
Yes. I have been reading, I think, 22 years now. I got my first deck in high school a million years ago. And Pathways is right around the corner from where I grew up. And I would be driving around, and there used to be a yarn shop that was right next door. And I crochet and I knit. So I used to go shop at the yarn store, and I would always see pathways, and I always wanted to go in. But my mom is a very staunch Catholic, and so she was like, no, you can't go over there. And so for like 2 years, freshman year and sophomore year, I would kind of look in, couldn't go, because my mom was the one driving me. And the minute I got my driver's license and I could take off by myself,
oh, I bet you went.
The first place I went was Pathways. And I just wandered around, and I was like, okay, I know I want something in here because I've been staring at the store for years, and I didn't know what it was. And I found myself at a table with tarot decks, and I didn't know what they were or why I was there. And someone who worked at the store just came up and said, do you have a deck? Do you read? And I was like, no, I just felt like I needed to be at this table. And they were like, well, I feel like you found your calling. You need to get yourself, and you need to figure it out. So I bought a deck and I bought a book because, of course, back then there was no YouTube or TikTok or internet. So I had a book and a deck, and I just kind of tried to figure it out on my own. I wasn't into like reading the book though. I was not a fan. So I really just, I kind of got through half of the book, and then I was like, this is too high level for me. I can't do it. So I just used the guidebook and my intuition. I was like, we're just going to figure out our own way around this.
You sound like me, because I went, no, I don't want to read the book. I just want to read the picture.
Yep. And,
that's basically what I did.
Help me, but yeah, exactly. And that's what I did. And I hid the deck under my bed so my mom couldn't find it. And then I took it with me to college because I went to a different state for college. And then I remember my freshman year, I didn't know anyone. Like, I was the only person from my high school that went, the only person I knew from St. Louis even, that went to my college. So I knew no one. And I remember just setting up in the common area of our dorm. And I was like, okay, how can I make friends as an introvert? And I just had my tarot deck, and I was like, who wants a free reading? And that's how I made friends my freshman year, was I just had random other freshman students who were like, yeah, I'll get a tarot reading, sure. And then the people were like, oh, wow, this is amazing. And then I was like, okay, cool, be my friend now, please.
That's awesome. How neat is that? I started really professionally, well, you know, really getting into it, kind of like you did. It sounds like we both had a real start. I went to a non-denominational college, like, you know, kind of like you said, you went to college. Basically, it's college is college. And I started having these, you know, intuitive experiences there, and I decided that I'm going to really read now that I'm in college and out on my own, you know, ooh, I'll pay rent that way. You know, that's what you think in college. Oh, that'll be fun. So I decided, too, that I was going to, but like you, I wasn't into the book.
So we share a lot
of similarities.
Yeah, figured if it works, it works, and I don't need to question the how. I just do what works.
Just make it work. I didn't even do the layout because I invented my own layout. I was so... like, okay, here's the book. Not interested in layouts. I'll just do this on my own. So that's what I did.
I was starting with Celtic crosses. And I may have started past, present, future and then got into Celtic crosses. But, yeah, I would just kind of throw some cards down, too. Now I'm much more type A, and I really like having a spread that I use because, to me, it just creates a nice little boundary of, like, this is what I want to know about, and it keeps everything kind of nice and neat and clean and doesn't provide, like, information that's not necessary, I guess. But I create my own spreads for a lot of events. So I like doing that. It's fun.
Yeah, I have a way. It's funny. I don't need cards. This gal that moved to Pennsylvania, she says, you don't even need cards. You can just read. I'm like, yeah. But a lot of people like the validation where they can see it. So pulling up cards makes them kind of like a book, validate, writing it down. So that's why, you know, I would pull cards. It's Very interesting.
To remind me, you know, you don't need them, right? And I say, yes, I know.
Oh, Kathy reminded me too. That's great.
Yep.
Yeah, Kathy, the same way with me. Honey, you don't need cards. You know, you can hear those animals and pick up those things because you're just so intuitive.
Yep. Yep.
And you are too.
Thank you. Yes, it's been a lifelong skill for sure. I will say it was definitely stronger when I was a kid, but then, of course, growing up Catholic and, like, my daycare that I went to when I was a kid was run by Carmelite nuns, and then I went to a K-8 Catholic grade school and then all-girl Catholic high school, and the Catholic kind of, you know, almost like beat it out of me a little bit of like, you're not seeing that, you're not hearing that, that's not real, that's not true. And so then, you know, until high school and later that I was kind of like, no, this is real. And so being able to kind of get back to it and learn how to, like I was saying, differentiate between what's intuition, what is my fear, and what is ego, that's been, I think it will probably be a lifelong struggle for most adults because we do get in our heads so much. But, you know, you figure it out, and eventually I like to say intuition is like a muscle. You have to keep building it and working on it.
You do.
To get it stronger, and then eventually it'll be there, and you'll be able to recognize it right away, and you won't have to struggle to find it or hear it.
Mm-hmm. So since you were pretty Catholic, you know, in your school and growing up, you know, kind of I had the same struggle. Did you ever question, like, you know, is this right or wrong what I'm doing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, there are a lot of people that I know currently who they'll say, we'll pray for you because they think that what
right.
you do is evil and uh-huh. it's a bad thing and I'm doing the devil's work, etc. And I just, to me, I find it kind of humorous because if you know the history of tarot was created in Italy in the 14th century, and there was a Pope card, and when they outlawed gambling, Taroki was the only game that was allowed because it had a Pope card. And he's like, well, that has my face in it, so that one we'll let stand. You guys can keep playing with that deck, but all the rest of them are outlawed. And so I just find it so hilarious that it's so steeped in biblical stories and mythology, essentially, and yet it is also considered so evil. But it's like, this is straight up a Bible story right here
on
this card.
Yes. You know, I had the same experience because I grew up, you know, listen to that. That's funny. I had this thing where these Native Americans were coming to me and I could see them like I'm seeing you and me. And, you know, I had this Native woman in Canada that contacted me and she said, you're not doing wrong. She said, you see, hear, feel, taste, touch, smell. No. And, you know, look at what God is. God is in the trees and the birds and he's your intuition. You know, God created your intuition because, you know, you're here. You know, I was kind of taken in by these medicine people. And so she's like, you know, it's not wrong because, you know, Creator created you this way. And she said, you know, you can practice your readings at the Bible college. And I did. You know, I took modeling school and Bible college all at the same time. I was in modeling school, I think, like the last year of my high school, and I just went, okay, I'm just going to do this for a living because I want to guide people and I want to help them, and that kind of became, that lady guided me and helped me all those years. This was back during dial-up even. We didn't have YouTube and all that good stuff. I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to become the phone reader. I'm just going to become the college, you know, person who they knock on your door. It was funny.
Yep. Yep. Well, and I think it's so interesting, too, because you can really see the misogyny in the Bible in that prophets are very much revered and celebrated in the Bible. You know, people who come who have knowledge that others do not have of a future that has yet to occur. And they are,
oh, yeah,
you know, they're the prophets, and that's amazing. And we celebrate them and put them on a pedestal, but they're all men. And so the minute you have a woman who comes around and is saying, I know things that you don't know that haven't happened yet, or that there's no way I could possibly know, then all of a sudden the word is not prophet, the word is witch. And then it's not a good thing. But it's like, just because it's okay over here, it's the same thing that's happening. It's just the gender has just changed a little bit. But because we know that, you know, men are the ones who wrote the Bible that we know today, they picked and chose who they put in positions of reverence and who they didn't. And so I think that has kind of carried over into modern day, where, you know, I think a lot of the reasons why tarot readers and psychics and intuitives are seen as evil now is because that distinction was made back then. And so now when you have a woman doing that today, that's the association that's made.
Well, and then we go into divine feminine, you know, what's wrong with the goddess, you know, like you are. I mean, we're goddesses. There's Diana, the strong woman, and all these people that were strong women back in the days, you know, that kind of knew what they were talking about too. You know, why not celebrate women? Mary Magdalene, you know, I'm sure you've had Mary Magdalene experiences because you came from the Catholic and Archangel Michael, but I mean, you know, the divine feminine, I'm sure, is a big, big, huge thing in your life.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. I don't remember what exactly it said, but so my high school was pretty unique for an all-girl Catholic high school. We were pretty liberal. And we actually had in one of my religion classes a nun who was excommunicated, and she came and spoke to our class. She was excommunicated because she was ordained as a priest in the Catholic Church, which is illegal, essentially. And so when the Vatican found out, they excommunicated her. But she was like, I don't understand why women can't be priests. What is so wrong with a woman being a priest? We are godly creatures as well. And what do I have, or what do men have that I do not have, that I cannot provide a congregation? And so my high school was relatively liberal. And I remember I would come home and I would challenge my mom and say, well, what if God's a woman? I think God's a woman. God, all God we talk about with God is the creation. And I'm like, the one gender on this earth that's really all about creation is the woman. So how is it that God is not a woman who then created this life, just like women on earth create life? And so I was just like, I think it's a woman. I'm going to say goddess, and I'm going to say she. I'm going to pray to her. And my mom was just like, so she would just roll her eyes like a rebellious teenager. She just couldn't handle it, but I loved it. I had like a bumper sticker that said something about like God is a woman, or God is a her, or something like that. And my mom just hated it.
I was so open-minded to creation. I didn't think about at the time God being a woman or a man, you know, but in my childlike mind, even in college, as an intuitive, I just kind of went, okay, yep, creator created things, okay.
Yep.
Whether it was male or female, it didn't matter.
Yep, yeah, exactly. I think I was just trying to be super defiant because I had another book
that
said, well-behaved women rarely make history.
There you go.
Yep. I know. I loved it. It was fun. But, yeah, it's interesting for sure. I think we all have our own path that we have to kind of make for sure in this world and figure out what it is you believe and where your spirituality lies. And I think it's hard for some people to forge that path on their own. And so I think some
You know, with you growing up Catholic, I would imagine it would have been like well, these rules this way. It was kind of that way with me because, you know, I sat on Grandpa's lap and said, why don't we have a piano in here? Because I'm learning the piano. Of course, you know, I could play intuitively. He's like, well, you know, they don't believe it in this. And I thought, boy, that is the craziest thing because I like to play the piano. So I was rebelliously saying, I'll go next door then where I can play the piano, you know, and things like that. I mean, just all these rules. Well, you know, why do the gifted people have to be men? They could be women. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's a cat or dog or they're purple. You know, it's like, I don't care if they're green. You know, they're going to give a message. We have all kinds of divine beings. You know, give them all a chance. That's why we were created, and then they were beating up psychics and mediums and whatever. And it's like, I believe their loved ones can come to us and talk to us because that happened to me at a young age. And then I became a medium, and, you know, then they're downing people that read. And I'm like, how you use it. It's kind of like you have karate. You know, I took karate lessons.
Yeah.
Just to learn that. And I'm like, look, it's just like what the karate teacher said. It's like, if you use it the right way, you know, then you're not harming someone. You could be helping someone. But if you use it the mean, wrong way, you know, there's do's and don'ts.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And that's what I always have to say too, when I am confronted with people who think that I'm evil or doing the devil's work, I have to say, you know, the cards are just a tool. It is a tool. It is, they're literally just pieces of paper with pictures on them. That's it. In and of themselves, they are not inherently good or evil. The behind it is what makes it good or bad. If I'm using the cards and they are the way that I am scamming people out of money and I'm just telling them what they want to hear, and I don't actually know what the cards mean, and I'm just telling everyone that they're going to be rich and famous and fall in love in 3 weeks, then that's evil. Because that's you're intentionally setting out to harm someone or hurt them in some way, shape, or form. But if I'm using these cards and I'm trying to help someone through a problem, or they're struggling with a decision and I can help clear it up for them and help them find some clarity, or help them become more confident or create more self-care and value themselves more, then that's good. If the output is good, then the tool is being used for good. But the tool in and of itself, it has no intent. It's all about the user's intent.
Well, you know, it's the user. Like, I mean, I've had people say, do you just tell people good things? I don't. I've had Archangel Michael come and literally tell me, you need to tell them this, and I'm going, ooh. You know, and it might not be good. It could be weird. It could be, you know, an issue. It could be negative. But even if it's negative, I'll ask anybody who's out there, you know, how do we resolve this? And then he gives me, or whoever gives me the answer, you know, to resolve it, kind of like you're the mental health person. You know, you're going to sit there and coach them and guide them. I work the same way.
Yeah. And I do think that my background and my training is key to what I do as a reader, because when you are, you know, doing a spread for someone, doing a reading for someone, and something comes up that's difficult and you know it's going to be difficult for them to hear, you have to have the training in terms of being able to tell that client in a kind and supportive way the information they need to know. You know, it's not helpful for a client to hear, you're egotistical and narcissistic and no one's going to love you. Like, no one wants to hear that.
Yeah, that's not going to help.
That's not going to help, exactly. But if I could say to someone, you know, I think you need to focus on yourself a little more and learn to love yourself more, so that you can love others a little more selflessly, but you have to love yourself first. Like, that's a way that that person can receive that criticism in a loving way, so that they can start making the changes they need to make in order to be the person they want to be later on in life. But they have to hear it in a certain way in order for it to be a catalyst for change in their life. And so you have to know how to say things so that they're received positively.
Yes. Absolutely. You know, see, that's always been how I've been. It's like, you know, no matter who it is, be it they're in Pennsylvania or, you know, they're in England or whatever, I'm on the phone reading them in person even. And I have to present it in a certain way that's very gentle and very mm-hmm. kind, kind of like you said, you know, I'm not going to present it egotistical. And really, I don't want somebody hanging out the window going, okay, I'm going to jump the ledge. You know, it's like, no, we're not doing that today or ever, you know, in my book, because we have to make this school of hard knocks a learning experience. You know, we learn things
mm-hmm.
from
yeah.
what we do, no matter what lessons, why we're here, what we're presented with, you know. And that's what mm-hmm. helps me is, you know, the first reading I had with Kathy, when she knew, okay, you're so spiritual, you don't know how to exist here. She got that one on the head, nailed that on the head. She's like, this girl is not from here.
Yep.
So I had to learn that I came down here because I wanted to obviously help people, but learning how to be here is exactly, you know, what you do on our paths as well. You know, once you learn how to do it yourself, and we're still learning, we're working to help the other person.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Yeah, and I think that's why I have been able to transition from being a counselor to being a reader, because I consider myself a tarot coach very much. So it's not
yeah.
just, I don't really do, when I do readings, I don't have people, like, I don't ask them a question. I don't have them ask me a question or pick a topic. I just say, okay, what's your name? Okay, here we go. And that's it. And you're going to get what you're going to get because that's what you need to get. But because so many people think they want to know about one thing, and in reality, they need to know something else. And I would rather
Absolutely.
Be helpful to you in this moment than you're worrying and stressing about this thing all the way over here that doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. It's not where your focus should be.
Exactly.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, I think having that background helps a lot because, you know, even when people go to counselors, they think they want help on this one specific topic, but in reality, over the course of counseling, you figure out, oh, no, I just needed to get better
mm-hmm.
at X, Y, or Z. And the problem is almost always internal. Like, yes, there's a lot of environmental things that happen and are out of your control and can be stressful and stuff, but a lot of it is internal. How are you changing your behavior and
yep.
your perception and what you're doing in order to work and function better in the life that you have created for yourself?
You got that right. And it's how we're responding to it. You know, how we
yep.
respond is the key.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
yep.
what I've seen with you guys at the Grand Slam, you know, all of you guys give, and I do too, and sometimes I need help on the, you know, on the things going on around me and sometimes not really in me, but how do you respond to that? You know, I got a lot of that guidance from Kyle, from Kathy, and, you know, you were in spirit, of course, because I didn't
oh, yeah.
see you there. But that's generally what happened to me. You know, I'm going, okay, you guys, what do I do about this? Because I'm not really sure how to handle it. I'm getting guided, but I need some steps. And then, boom, you know, here's Kathy and Kyle. You know, and I could see you doing this too with people, giving the steps. It's like, hey, I really need a guide here. I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, I think, why divination and readers are so helpful, such a helpful tool in this world, because they can help you kind of create some structure and organization to the chaos in your mind. So often we overthink things, overanalyze things,
mm-hmm.
and it's not that the problem in and of itself is so complicated that we can't figure it out. It's that we have made it so complicated. That it is difficult
to figure
out. Well,
you know, not only do we make it complicated, I mean, you know, I'm not a person to lash out or attack at a person, you know, when they've done something wrong. You know, of course, you, like you said, when you channel and find a way, you want to present it in the most professional, kind, calming way, you know, but a lot of times the person, you know, who's being put on the spot to present the message, you know, it's like, hey, it's your job. Here you go, channeler, do this. And I'm going,
yep,
okay, oh boy. And so then I'm running to Kathy and I'm going, can you help me with this? This one is a hard one. And, you know, she would
yep.
warn me about, like, certain red flags or whatever, but, and Kyle would too. But then there's just the presentation of it. And even you, I feel, could help someone, you know, sort of step-by-step draw out the plan, which I do too with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're good at, like, helping another person when it's not our own to,
yes.
you know, write out something and help them, you know, to guide them on the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, 100%. And I find it so interesting, too, because so school counselors, the kind of politically correct term for a counselor nowadays in school is professional school counselor, PSC. That is the,
mm-hmm.
the term job title nowadays because it's, you're required to have a master's in order to have that job. However, before schools required counselors to have a degree to do that job, they were called guidance counselors. And
yeah.
I kind of love that phrase, even though it does represent a less professional, a less trained person. But I love it because that is what you're doing. You're providing guidance. You are the counselor who is providing guidance to that other person. And I think that is kind of what I aspire to do as a reader, is be a guidance counselor of, like, utilizing tarot with my clients. Because
mm-hmm.
that's what it is you're providing that guidance.
And, yes, you know, the guidance part, you know, I mean, back long ago, once upon a time, they wanted to send me patient marks that would help me get through grief, you know. But, honestly, the true counselor that got me through grief of my grandma, which that's how I became a medium, was one who was Reiki certified, Ayurvedic practitioner, you know, more of the natural, more the nature, natural chanting, you know, that seemed to be the vibe I gravitated mm-hmm. towards.
Yep. Yeah. And it's interesting too, because, you know, I'm always going to be someone who advocates for mental health professionals because there are definitely things they can do for clients that intuitive cannot. But I will say, I feel as someone who has done both the traditional counseling and kind of that guidance counseling, like I speak of through
mm-hmm.
reading, I feel like you just get so much more information and so much more change in your clients faster by using the intuition, because when you see a counselor, you're talking through your problems, but you also don't trust them. So you may not be giving that counselor all of the information that they need to help you work through your problem. And so it might take, you know, 3 or 4 sessions with a counselor before that counselor has the information they need to give you the steps
mm-hmm.
to help guidance. But as an intuitive reader, using the cards, you can sit down across from me. I have no information about you other than your name. And then the cards and my intuition help tell me exactly what the problem is. And they help me give you the tools for, here's how you can work through that problem. Here's where you need to focus on first, second, third. Here's what you do. And the fact that I was able to come up with that information without being told it provides enough of the trust from that client that they're more willing
mm-hmm.
to actually work now, because it's kind of like, I have proven you can trust me. I have proven that this information comes from a good place. Now go do with it what you will, versus with a counselor, there's so much distrust because you don't know,
true.
Are they
mm-hmm.
just see, you know, and it's hard to build that trust. But I think because of the intuition piece, it's kind of like, oh, wow, there's no way that person could know that. And so it must be true, and this must be what I'm supposed to do. And they're more likely to actually do it.
Absolutely. I like the more intuitive approach, the healers, the ones that sit down with you and actually care. That was my path in college even. Mm-hmm. I wanted a guide to sit down and say, okay, you want to be a school teacher, you're going to take this class and this class and this class. When it's step-by-step, kind of like that guidebook you're creating, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very powerful thing. So I like the feely, you know, I mean, the guidance counselors have their places too. So does the, you know, the there's natural medicine and then there's the, you know, Western medicine. You know, there's a place for all of that. And I think that that's really good that you can research and get what you need and it's helpful. You know, I like to do that. I could know nothing about someone. They could sit down and I just pick up instantly things and things are coming out of me and I'm going, okay, I don't know where that came from. And they're like, oh my gosh, how'd you know that? So, and that's
mm-hmm.
what you do.
Be, again, that catalyst for change. And that's what it's all about is we all just want to be a little bit better tomorrow than we were today. And that requires us to, you know, reflect, recognize what we need to do differently, and then act and do that differently. And I think some mm-hmm. people are, you know, really great at that, and some people just need a little assistance and a little hand-holding, and that's what we're here for.
Right. That's true. We're definitely on the right path. I'm excited that you're getting back into, you know, doing things because you kind of hit the, you know, maternity leave and all that when I came.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to, you know, somehow getting together with you and sitting down and doing that. That would be fun.
Oh, yes. I will be back. I will be back shortly. And I always try to have an update. My website, blueempresstarot.com, at the bottom usually has upcoming events. So I'll be updating those shortly, and then you'll be able to see which dates I'm at Grand Slam and see what events I'm doing and where and all of that jazz. So I always try to keep that as updated as possible. So once I'm
awesome,
I think probably in a week or so that'll be updated and you'll be able to see where I'm going to be at for the rest of the fall. And then that gets updated. So yeah, you'll be able to find me out in the wild.
Yeah, the hunter, the scavenger finds you again. Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, I just was counting down the days, looking forward to having you on my show because I just went, she's a cool mom. She's a really good reader. Mm-hmm. She's intuitive. This is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I am, you know, I'm grateful for being an entrepreneur and owning my own business. And being able to have taken this time with our new child because I think, you know, I'm such an advocate for self-care for other people, and yet this is kind of how it is for everybody, I think. You're really good at helping others do one thing, but then that's the one thing that you kind of suck at, that Chiron, mm-hmm. the healer piece. And that's my thing is I'm a very good self-care advocate for other people. And yet I struggle with it a lot because I tend to be a workaholic and always wanting to help other people and then feeling kind of guilty and selfish doing something for my own. So it was really important that I took
sure.
this time to kind of just, you know, bunker down and be that cancer going into my shell and focusing on home and family for a little while. And I think I really needed that. So I'm grateful that I gave that to myself. I practiced what I preached. And then now I'm kind of, you know, hankering to get back out and get back. So I'll be happy to be coming out of my shell again.
Wonderful. You know, you mentioned Chiron wound healing. I had my astrology chart done probably a few months ago. And this kind gentleman that a friend of mine who channels Mary Magdalene, she recommended he do a chart on me, and he said, oh, you're going through a Chiron wound healing. How funny is that?
Oh, so funny. Yep. I know. I love astrology so much. I'm in the process of getting certified so that I can mm-hmm. do charts for people as well, because, again, the astrology is just another tool to utilize to really get good insight about yourself, all the things that make you wonderful and unique and special, but then also all of the spaces where there's room for improvement. And I feel like the more information you have about those areas that need improvement and why they need improvement, the easier it is to find the fix, start working on it, because that awareness is everything. So I'll be really excited once I get my certification to start offering astrology chart readings too, because I think that's going to be a huge help for a lot of clients for sure.
Yes, it will be, definitely. That's exciting. I had a feeling you might be getting certified as an astrology person just by,
yep.
you know, how you work. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I know. Again, all the things, so much going on. But, yeah, I am a student at heart, the eternal student. I want to learn all the things, do all the things. So they're all on my list.
Well, you know, you and I are a lot alike with the student thing, because every single thing that I do, like healing, I had to get certified. It's like, oh, I got to get a certificate for that. Oh, I'm going to learn that. I'm going to learn this over here. So I have so many
mm-hmm.
certificates. It's insane.
Yep. Yep, me
I'm
too.
I'm with you, girl.
Me-
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's so fun, though.
I'm the student
and sometimes
and teacher.
I'll get, you know, yeah, sometimes I mm-hmm. get certifications and stuff, and it's like, I'm never going to charge anyone for this. I'm never going to make this part of my business, but I want to learn about it. So I want
absolutely.
The certificate.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You're just doing it for, you know, just to do it. You know, I said,
mm-hmm.
I have to be certified. You know, I have to be. See, I took Reiki and Healing Touch back to back, Sharon. You know, it was just something.
Mm-hmm.
As a child, I always had the healing hands, and I could do spiritual healing. So, and now I can do it at a distance, and lots of people feel it. But I just
mm-hmm.
went, yeah, I'm going to take Reiki. But I'm going to do Healing Touch, too, and I'm going to see which one I like better and which one feels good and what feels good to me. And then, you know, the shamanism creeped up on me, too, and I'm just like, wow, this is interesting. So
mm-hmm.
it's the whole thing. I've been an intuitive kid like your children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I love it. And I feel like we all have our own unique set of skills that are specific to us, our little niches, right? And I think that's why so many intuitives, you could, I mean, as a client, it's not necessarily about, oh, I have to see this specific reader because they're the best. They charge $500 a reading and, oh my goodness, they've written 20 books and they have 10 million decks out. It's not always about the clout or the most famous person. It has to be about who do you resonate with, because every single person is going to be utilizing their skills a little bit differently. They're all going to have a slightly different perspective. They're all going to have a slightly different technique. And it's just
mm-hmm.
about finding someone that matches with you, that
yes,
they're
it is.
The way you want them to give it. And so it doesn't matter who that is. It's just, you know, you have to find that right fit. It's like, it's almost like finding a reader or finding an intuitive or finding a healer. I feel like it's kind of like finding a soulmate or finding a partner in life.
Yes.
You kind of have to go on a couple of like yucky first dates in order to find someone.
Well,
that but,
yes, I had a few yucky first dates, but the first really genuine person I met, Sharon, was Kathy Hughes. And Kathy was like, oh my gosh, what have I gotten into? And, you know, she couldn't believe she was meeting a young girl that was so intuitive. It blew her mind. And she had to keep, you know, like guiding me, helping me. And she did. And then, you know, you guys, you and Kyle got together, you all three of you guys. And I went, okay, I want to know all these people. So I got to know Kyle. I got to sit down with him. but I really didn't get to know you, and I felt bad because I said, I really want to know her. I really want to get to know her. I like her. She's cool. And then I saw, oh, she's having a baby. How cool is that? But, you know, I knew you were a good mom, and I just thought, gosh, she's leaving. She's going on, darn it. So then I thought, well, I'm going to see if there's any way I can get to know her or be around her, because Kathy has guided me for years, and she's mm-hmm. helped me through lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
Just to grow,
I know,
and just to be, you know, and I really appreciate Kathy for that. And I know she's mm-hmm. probably very excited that we're getting to know each other too.
Yes, I know. She's such a guiding light for sure. I'm very grateful to get to work with her on a regular basis. But, you know, I'm also grateful I have this time. I've had my business now for 3 years, and this maternity leave is the first break I've had in all 3 years. So I kind of feel like I needed it a little bit. But I'm excited to be back, too, and get back to reading, get back to my clients, get back to events. I'm excited for all of that.
And you have some crazy radio host going, can you come on my show?
I mean, it honestly is one of the perfect kind of forays back into the working world, though, because I get to sit at home and just chit-chat for hours, and I don't have anywhere all my stuff anywhere. And, you know, my kids are just right down. I can go right back to being a mom when this part is over. So it's kind of the perfect little toe dipped back in the water.
Well, I'm glad. I'm really honored you came on today. Do you want to take some callers with the few minutes we have?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we're going to take callers. We're in the second half of the show. It's one question per caller. The number is 347-237-5339. Hit one on your keypad if you want to talk to us. And definitely check out Sharon Blue if you haven't had a chance. You know, she left her website, and she's on Facebook as well to see her events. We're going to get to our first caller, which is 954. You're on the line with Amanda. And Sharon, how are you today?
I'm well. How are you guys?
We're good.
Good. My name is Sharon, too.
Hi.
Love it.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Do you want me to ask you a question, or, I mean, I don't know what the protocol would be, or?
Sure, what question do you have?
I've been working at my job now for quite some time, and I don't know, it's gotten really, I feel like I'm having a case of burnout, but I just wanted to know if you see something, you know, coming up. I don't know, I'm working also with someone whom I feel, I went part-time, I'm the over 65 crowd, you know, and they're upgrading their tech system, so it's like, oh boy.
But, oh boy.
And so I just want to find something which, you know, when you're at a certain age, I mean, it isn't super easy, but I just wanted to know basically what you see. I mean, you know, staying there and just, you know, going for the challenge of it, or, you know, just you know, moving on. I don't know.
Well, I went ahead and pulled some cards for you, and I got the Nine of Wands, the Sun, and the Nine of Pentacles. So the fact that you have two nines, to me that says that you're getting close to the end of a journey. So I feel like this particular job, you're kind of getting to the end of the rope with it. The fact that the Sun is in the middle, and it's the Nine of Wands on the left and the Nine of Pentacles on the right, to me that shows like this journey where it's like right now you're feeling like you've gotten knocked down and you're kind of on guard and feeling defensive a little bit in your current workspace, and like you have to justify yourself a lot. And so I feel like if you leave that job and you try to find something else that makes you happier, where you feel more like you belong and you feel like your skills are more valued, that's that Sun card, the happiness. And then on the other half of that, we have the Nine of Pentacles, which is, I mean, that's really kind of that harvest card of, like, you've done the work, you've put it in, and now you get to just kind of reap the rewards of your harvest. And so I think either retiring or finding something else that maybe is not necessarily a thing that, like, a career you want to build, but it's a job that just makes you happy and provides you with the financial resources you need to live the life you want to live outside of the workspace. That's what I would say.
Right.
Yep, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense,
Sharon? Yeah. I mean, it does. It does make sense. I just, I just want something. I am part-time. So there are people there that are resentful that I'm part-time and they remained on full-time. And it's just like gotten so, you know, kind of like toxic. I mean, I'm there over 10 years, but it's just like, you know, it's just gotten so toxic in that, you know, I would be the first person to say, oh, wow, you know, that's awesome. And just people like resentful and I don't know. It's just weird. So, yeah, I think it's time to definitely move on. Do you have any feelings about that, Amanda, or?
I'm feeling that you're going, it's like a new journey. I mean, I just keep being told about your angel. I'm hearing from Archangel Gabriel. He's telling me that it's a new journey for you. It's like a new beginning, like a new start. And you're just taking off and you're flying.
I can't wait. Well, gosh. Thank you so much for your insights. And I really, really appreciate it.
I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah. Many blessings. Thank you again.
Many blessings. Thank you. All right. Our next caller is, let's see, let's go down here. Just had it a minute ago. We have so many. We have a 636345. You're on the line with Amanda and Sharon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hi, Kyle.
Hi, it's Kyle. Yeah.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi. I just wanted to be supportive.
Hi.
I'm tuning in.
Thank you.
I'm like Beetlejuice. You say my name seven times, and here I am. You know.
I love it.
Sharon, I can't wait to see you at Grand Slam. I am going to throw a question to you. You've been doing so great. I'm so proud of you on the show. My question is that I have a potential job offer. I feel like it's been offered to me. I have conflicting feelings about it. I think it would be life-changing, but I'm worried that if I take it, I'm going to be maybe pulled away from some of my life purpose. Do you think maybe you could give me some insight for that?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Knight of Pentacles, and then the Sun and the Nine of Pentacles came out again. So the Knight of Pentacles for you, to me, that says this is a job opportunity that would be forward momentum for you in your career. So, like, to me, I feel like this is a step that is almost necessary or required, not necessarily because it is leading you exactly where you're supposed to go, but because it's part of the journey. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, like, no, that resonates.
Yeah, considering it's a Knight of Pentacles and not a Knight of Wands, it's not a job that's leading you towards something you want to do, but it's something that is providing you with financial security and foundation to later be able to do what you want to do. So I feel like moving forward, it may not feel like it's moving you where you want to go, but it is helping you get to where you want to go, because that financial prosperity is kind of the key to eventually where you want to go.
And then the fact that you have the Sun and the Nine of Pentacles, again, those are really happy, positive cards for me. I think you might end up liking it more than you think you will. Not necessarily because of the job itself, but I feel like you're going to find people that you really enjoy working with at that space. And I think those are going to become some relationships that you keep long term. And then I feel like that Nine of Pentacles is saying eventually you're going to leave this position and go because you'll have gotten what you need to from it and then be able to do more of what your soul's purpose is. So it's a stepping stone.
Wow, Sharon, I just want to say I'm so obviously impressed by you, but that's really what I've been feeling, honestly, intuitively the last couple days. So I do think I'm going to take it and accept the offer, but it's definitely not talk show host, so we have some ways to go.
Darn.
So,
you know, Kyle, you're going to have your own show. You're going to have your own show. I've seen it. I know it. I know you. And I can't wait to hang out and have coffee sometime and hang out with the three amigos because you guys are just amazing. I mean, I feel like all three of you, Kathy included, are family. I just love all of you. And I just see you thriving and flying, Kyle. Just, you know, this job is going to get you the income. Then you're going to have money to do a show. You're going to be really good.
Thank you. I'm excited. And, yeah, Sharon and Kathy and I, we just adore each other. And I am so excited. Of course, I'll have all of you on the show. But Lord knows I have a mouth on me, so I'm not worried about gaining some clout with my mouth. So I just thank you so much to both of you for taking my call. And thank you so much, Sharon.
Of course.
I'll have you on again, too.
I can't wait.
I'll have you as a guest
again, too.
Yeah, you're awesome. We'll get together and talk. Blessings. Thank you for calling in. All right. Blessings. He is such a wonderful person. I'm glad he called in today.
I know. He's amazing.
Area code 740. You're on the line with Amanda and Sharon. How are you?
Hello, Sharon. Hello, Amanda. And congratulations to Kyle out there. And, you know, I'm just calling in to be supportive. Wonderful show, Amanda. And great information, as always, by your guest and Sharon today. Nice to hear your insights. My name is William.
Thank you. Hi, William. Nice to meet you.
Quick question, I guess. Insights on upcoming love?
Sure. Let's see what we got for you.
Thank you.
And, of course, my deck flipped over. So the first card that flipped over was the Ace of Cups, which you couldn't really ask for a better card asking about love. That aces are always representative of, like, new beginnings, new things coming to you, and potential. And the cup specifically is about all matters of the heart. So to me, this says that there is a new relationship coming. However, what I will say is that Ace of Cups is also very much associated with the idea of self-love. So to me, I feel like the relationship is going to come when you are least focused on looking outside of yourself and more focused on looking inside of yourself. So I feel like the more you focus inward on yourself and the other two cards that came up were the Two of Pentacles and the Queen of Pentacles. So I feel like the more you're focused on that balancing act between, you know, work and yourself, like the energy you're putting out to other people and the energy that's going back to fueling you and becoming the person you want to be in a future relationship, that's when that Queen of Pentacles is going to come into your life and it's going to be like, oh, okay, here she is. And now I'm ready for her. So the Queen of Pentacles, she's going to be nurturing, caring. She's also very much a boss lady. So this is someone who knows their stuff, is very intelligent. They are a very hard worker. So they're probably going to very much value their career and their work. but then they're also very kind of domestic and like probably like cooking and decorating and crafts and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be a nice match because I think you tend to be more in your head and more analytical, and they tend to be more kind of grounded and about, you know, the environment. So I think it'll be a nice little match for you. But, yeah, focus on you first, and then when you least expect it, boom, here they will come.
Yeah. Well, usually that's how it has been in the past, although I thought I had love, and then, well, he regrets sending me away, but, you know, it's okay. You know, he has to take care of himself first.
So. I think I love this nurturing energy for you. I think you are going to need someone that can help you heal. And I think they're going to be very patient, very caring, and very generous with their time and their energy. And I think that's going to be exactly what you need. But I think you got to work on your heart first and make sure that you are creating the space in your life for someone else to fit in too. Because if you're getting yourself super busy and you don't have time for that other person, then, you know, it's not going to be there. So that's what I would say.
Well, I always take time to make space for myself and for take care of others usually more than I do myself. But I'm stepping back to pull back to love myself and take care of myself and focus on my art career and art studio and things.
Yes. I love that. I think, I really feel like the more you are starting to just enjoy yourself and your life and feeling like I'm good, I feel like the minute you get to that space, that's when this person is going to come in.
Yeah. Well, how about enjoying Uriel? That usually fills me in on a lot of info, but I'm sorry I didn't interrupt.
Oh, yeah.
When you when you get that nurturing, I'm in agreement with her because, I mean, Mother Mary is all over you getting nurtured, and Archangel Michael knows that you need to get nurtured, and that is really coming out big time because, you know, that artwork is really cool that you do, and that's kind of like your meditation time, and so you need, you are the more in your head. She's totally got you pinned. I see that you need the nurturing very, very bad. Yeah, that's going to manifest for you, and then you're going to take off. So I'm just excited to see what happens with you.
Well, I'll keep you posted. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just, just prepare or have the journey about ready to explode for me to move forward with my studio and things. So.
Yeah, I'm feeling like 3 to 4 months. I feel like you have another 3 to 4 months of waiting and really focusing on you. And then by the time you get to 3 to 4 months from now, so hang on, what's it, September, October, November, so like right around New Year's.
Yeah.
I feel like New Year's and getting into January of 2024, that's when you're going to meet this person and you'll be in a space of welcoming that in. And energetically for the year, that makes sense anyway, because we're winding down.
Yeah.
So then you get to start that relationship with a brand new blank slate, fresh year ahead of you, full of potential.
True. Thank you, Sharon.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Amanda. Awesome lady.
You're welcome. Thank you for the support. You know, my bird painting is still sitting in my bedroom, and it's been healing me the last couple of days. So I'm appreciative of your work. The rest of it is in my bedroom as well. So I'm having fun healing.
Cool. I'll just say that's a real tweet.
Thank you.
Couldn't resist that one. Sorry.
That's all right. That's a good joke.
Yeah.
All right. Blessings to you. Thank you for calling.
Love you.
Love you too. All right, our next caller is area code 703. You're on the line with Amanda and Sharon. How are you?
I'm good. Great, thanks. My name's Andrea.
Hey,
hi.
Andrea.
Can you hear me?
Well,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a question. So I actually had two job interviews, and do you think I'm going to get an offer from one of these or possibly both?
Okay.
Or something else?
So what I would like you to do in your mind's eye, give one job the letter A and give another job the letter B. So just
okay.
I want you to specify in your head what is A and what is B. Okay?
Got it.
Pull some cards for each. Okay. So, job A, you got the Nine of Wands, the Four of Swords, and the World. So, I feel like with job A, I don't think you're going to get an offer, unfortunately, for that one. It feels like it's not the right space for you. And especially with that Four of Swords card coming out, I feel like the work-life balance would be really difficult with that job. Like, they would demand a lot more from you than what you really should be giving. So I feel like it's almost a blessing in disguise. Job B, however, we got Temperance, Ten of Swords, and the Eight of Pentacles. So to me, that Ten of Swords is saying that your long wait is over and you get to stop agonizing about who, what, where, when. So I feel like you are going to offer from job B. And that card with the Temperance, to me, that's going to have a much better work-life balance for you. And with that Eight of Pentacles, I think there's definitely going to be stuff you're going to have to learn along the way where there's going to be more training that you need, that you're not going to know exactly how to do it on day one. You're going to have to do some training and some professional development there, but that you're going to build some skills that are going to help you more long term. So does that make sense and does that help?
Yeah, it makes sense because the job B is like an environmental kind of company. They do consulting, so I'd have to learn some things. The other job A, I'm a former employee, and so it's just a different umbrella because I got laid off when the mortgage rates went up. So it's just a different umbrella, but former employee.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So I feel like is where it's at. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's also going to be challenging for you in terms of like mentally, but in a positive way, you know, kind of like when you have a puzzle that's just a little bit harder than the other ones you've done before, but you're more excited about it because you know it's going to require a little more brain effort, you know. I think it's going to be good for you.
Okay, well, let's definitely let you know which one comes through because my interview is on Thursday.
Awesome.
Oh, good deal.
Well, and Thursdays are great days for that. Thursdays are ruled by Jupiter, which is all about expansion. So let's expand your work horizon. So
there you go.
I love that.
Good.
Thank you. I'll let you know.
Yes. Amanda,
I'll be sending you all kinds of blessings to have
Thank
your job
you.
Come through and have a great result. So I see very positive coming. So I'm looking forward to hearing about it.
Thank you. I'll definitely let you know how it goes.
Yeah.
All right. Blessings to
you. Okay. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Our next caller is area code 770. You're on the line with Amanda and Sharon. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys? And my name is Kathy.
Good.
Hi.
I have a question. Have a storage unit, and last night you're supposed to be out by 10 o'clock, and I actually fell asleep. I thought I'd set the timer, but I didn't leave until like 10:34. Do you see them trying to evict me? Because we've had some problems in the past, so I'm really paranoid now. So you see them evicting me, not saying anything to me. What do you see?
me see what I got. Well, it's interesting. So I got the Lovers, the Knight of Pentacles, and the Queen of Swords. So the Lovers here is representing a choice. So I feel like the person who's going to review the footage and see what happened, I feel like they are going to be the ones that make that decision. And to me, with the Knight of Pentacles versus the Queen of Swords, it could go one of two ways. Either they could look the other way and just let you keep going the way you want to go, or they could be kind of a stickler for the rules a little bit and go that opposite way of eviction. So it's almost like it's just up to who is the person who sees that information, what are they going to do? I don't really see, I'm not feeling danger. I'm not feeling panic. I'm not feeling fear. So I feel like you're going to be fine, but I also feel like it hasn't been decided yet. But I don't feel like it's going to be horrible for you. That's just my
feeling. Yeah, I'm not seeing it horrible either. I'm in agreement.
Yeah.
As the person that's reviewing it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I think that they're probably going to have a conversation with you about it. I think that's what that Queen of Swords is, that there's going to be a conversation. But I feel like as soon as you explain what happened, I think you'll be fine.
And do you see... We'll be making a decision because we're had some views before, and I just feel like they're out to get me. So anything that I do wrong after had it out, they're just going to go, nope, I'm done.
I don't know that. So I feel like it's kind of up to, it feels very Wheel of Fortune-y for me. It feels like it's still up in the air of who's going to be reviewing the tapes. Because you said that was just last night, right?
You said if they'll be reviewing the tapes or who will be reviewing the tapes.
When did it happen?
Last night. So they'll be open tomorrow. The store manager that will probably... review it.
So I feel like I feel like it's up in the air because it hasn't been reviewed yet. And so because of that Wheel of Fortune energy I'm feeling, it hasn't been decided who's seeing the video yet. I think you'll be fine.
I'm saying you'll be fine.
There aren't place yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because the, you know what I mean? If the decision is, will something happen or will something not happen? But in order for that decision to be made, the video has to be seen, and the video hasn't been seen yet. And it might not be seen at all. You know, they might have a backlog and might say, I don't feel like watching this today. So I think it's kind of up in the air. I think you have anything to worry about.
I agree.
Okay.
I think that the more you focus on being concerned about it, the more likely it is that the person you don't want to watch it is going to watch it. So I would say, if you can, try to put all your focus on just positive and planning for the future. That's what I would say. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Focus on the positive outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
Okay. So do you, probably hard to project, where I will feeling a relief from inner self saying that be okay?
I think that there are a lot of situations in which your reality is determined by you. And so I think sometimes you have to just kind of fake it till you make it. So I think this is one of those situations where you have to kind of fake it till you make it and just act as though everything is fine and everything is going to be fine and go about your life
with that mindset, and then everything will be fine.
So it's like you're putting the energy out there that what you're wanting to happen is things go very positive, and so you're envisioning that positivity and you're seeing it like it's already happened. You're doing a manifestation type technique where you see this having a good result and you're focused on the positive like it's already happened, and then that manifests and happens.
Exactly. It's kind of like if you're going to be doing a public speaking event and you're really stressed out about it because you don't like public speaking, if all you do is focus on the words that you trip up or the sounds that are hard for you to enunciate, then the minute you get on stage, that's what's going to happen. You're going to struggle with those words. You're going to have issues with those sounds. That's where it's going to be. But if right before you go on stage, you're envisioning you being very eloquent and the words just rolling off your tongue and you knowing exactly what to say and how to say it, then when you get up on that stage, that's what's going to happen because that's what you envisioned. I feel like this is one of those situations where it's kind of like if all you're focused on is the worst case scenario, then it's almost like you will it into being, even though right now that's not what's going to happen. But if instead you focus all your energy on the best case scenario, then you'll kind of will that into being.
Exactly right.
And I've been, you know, you're fine. They won't do it. So I'll keep doing that. And it will work because I just have too much on my plate.
Yeah. I would don't even think of that at all. Like, focus on the other stuff that's on your plate. Focus on all that other stuff and doing what you need to do with all the other things. And everything else will work out. It's kind of like, you know, just don't give it any attention. You know, like that child you just need to ignore until they calm down.
All right. Thank you for calling. You will get through it. We'll be sending you positive thoughts and let us know how it goes. Blessings to you. Okay, our next caller is area code 203. You're on the line with Amanda and Sharon. How are you?
Hi, great. This is Michelle. And,
hi.
I've never called you before, so I'm kind of like a blank slate, so anything you want to jump in and tell me, you can. I just was laid off from my job, though, and they didn't appreciate me, so I'm completely fine with it. And I'm really hoping to find something really great, you know, not good, just great. This might be the last job that I have before I retire. And I'm just looking for a great job. But I'm wondering if that's going to cause me, well, I'm wondering when that might come, if I'm going to find something great, and if it's going to cause me to move away. That's my thinking.
Okay. Let's see what we got for you, Michelle. Well, interestingly, you got the Devil, the Magician, the Queen of Pentacles, and the Six of Swords behind the scenes. So between the Devil and the Magician, I think the one thing standing in your way between you and finding a really great job is self-confidence. I think that the more that you build yourself up and realize how amazing you are and the skill sets that you have that you've built up over the years, I think that will help you to build your confidence to be able to apply for things that are a little higher than maybe you think you should be applying for right now. That Queen of Pentacles to me says you will find something. It will be prosperous and it will be a good financial place for you, but you're also going to enjoy it. And it's going to be something that is in line with what you've been doing because it builds on the skill set that you already have. But you get to be in more of a leadership role there, where like possibly a manager, you're going to be working with other people and helping to mentor other people and grow them. It's like you see their potential and you help them to become the best versions of themselves, and you are the catalyst for that. So I feel like that's kind of what you need to be looking for. The Magician card says you're definitely going to find something, but you are the one that's kind of responsible, I guess, for going out and finding it. It's not just going to fall in your lap. You have to take those steps. Now, the Six of Swords in the background, that is often a travel card. So you might need to move for this perfect job for you, or it could just be a job where there's a little extra travel involved, like maybe trips during the year that you have to take, or maybe it's just a little further away from where you live. So like your commute is a little bit longer, but it's kind of worth, to me, the Six of Swords is not a bad thing. It's more like it's part of that catalyst of getting to that job that you want. Because for you, it's not about the money and it's not about the job title. It's about the actual work itself and doing something that is fulfilling to you. And so I think there's going to be compromises you're going to be willing to make in order to have that kind of a day-to-day in your job.
Yeah, it looks like to me you're not moving, but you're traveling a lot, because I got the vision of travel, like just, you know, it's a traveling job, but you enjoy it.
That's, you know, I've got six cats, so the moving and the traveling, you know, is difficult. I could do some traveling, but the commuting, because I've been working remotely, and which has been really great, but any other job, I would have to get in my car and go to work that was around here. So there's a high likelihood that if I found something local, and there's a couple of things that put me on the road, you know, going to work every day, and that's okay. You know, that's what I used to do.
I feel like it's more likely that you'll be, you know, kind of driving more to and from work in order to have this position, because I think you're going to be interacting with people a lot more in it, which I think you're going to enjoy, because I feel like it's not going to be as isolating, and because it's more of a leadership position, it's really you getting to share your wisdom with other people. And I think that is going to be what's really fulfilling for you. And
that's
you're not going to
help
that
you.
That experience of relationships working remotely at home. You're just not. So I feel like it'll be worth it.
Do I have a timeline on when I would get this? I'm just curious.
So, honestly, the fact that the Magician came out and the Devil came out, to me, those cards say that it's up to you. So they say if you procrastinate doing the application process and the interview process, then it's going to take a lot longer. But if you kind of hustle and you're applying for things and you're on top of the interviews and the follow-ups and you're, like, really putting yourself out there, then to me it won't take that long. But the Magician card to me says it's up to you, not up to the universe.
Yeah, it's like it's going to manifest as quick as you want it to, is what I'm hearing from your guides and spirit.
That's great. Okay. Thank you so much. It all kind of
Thank you for
sense.
Calling in. I appreciate your call. Thank you for calling. Blessings.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh. All right. Bye. Our next caller is 509. You're on the line with Amanda and Sharon. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you. Hello.
What's your
good.
How can we help?
Yes. So my name is Erica, and I just wanted to know if you see like a new serious relationship. I feel like I'm getting really old, and I'm not worried, but I just want to know if, like, you see that coming.
Okay, let's see what we got.
Okay. Well, interestingly, I got the Queen of Pentacles, Judgment, the Two of Wands, and the Three of Wands. So with the Queen of Pentacles, I feel like you have so much love and you want it to go somewhere and there's nowhere for it to go. And so I feel like that's a huge part of why you're wanting this relationship is you're just such a nurturing and caring person. You want someone to take care of. You want someone to love, you know, find me somebody to love kind of is what's going on in my head right now. But I also feel like you struggle taking care of yourself. So I do see a relationship coming, but a lot of this is up to you. So with the Queen of Pentacles, self-care needs to be super important for you and also just loving yourself and recognizing that you're worthy of a great love and you don't need to settle for anything. The Judgment card to me says, like, releasing that judgment of yourself. So I feel like you sometimes, when you're worrying about finding someone, you then kind of look in the mirror and kind of pick all the little things of why maybe I'm unlovable. And I think that is preventing you from finding someone, because the more you see wrong with yourself, the less likely you are to put yourself out there and be your true authentic self, because you're trying to hide all the stuff that you feel is wrong with you. But in reality, all of those things that you see as flaws are going to be the things that someone else is going to see as lovable and what's going to make you stand out to that other person.
It's going
to
make you attractive. You know, mm-hmm. It's going to make you, you know, you shouldn't be ashamed of those things.
Exactly. And so then with the Two of Wands and the Three of Wands, I think you spend too much time sitting on the sidelines waiting for things to happen and, like, wanting it to look perfect and wanting it to play out a specific way instead of just jumping in and saying, well, let's see what happens, and kind of not asking, could this be a serious relationship, but just asking, could this be fun, and do I want to get to know this person a little more? And not necessarily, do I see myself marrying them? Do I see myself having kids with them? But more like, do I see myself enjoying 3 hours of my time with this person? Could I do something that I love with this person and still have fun? And if the answer is yes, then I say go for it and have some fun. And if the answer is no, then don't waste your time. But I feel like you just get in your head about, is it going to be long-term? Is it long-term? Is it long-term? Instead of just be fun. Does that make sense?
And you want the fun.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
The fun will turn into the long-term. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is you're never going to get to that place of long-term of just being able to sit on a couch with someone and watch a TV show and not say a single word to them without there being awkwardness or uncomfortableness. You're not going to get to that space without the spontaneity, having fun, doing crazy things, getting to know each other, hating things about the other person as well, but dealing with it anyway. You're not going to get to that space without that initial leap of faith and just jumping in and trying it out and seeing what happens.
It's about being your true, authentic self and knowing in yourself that the person that you're going to meet is going to love every single thing about you no matter what.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm
in.
Getting there too, so I'm with you on that.
Okay. Yeah.
You are worthy
but
of love.
You said but you said it will happen or not? I mean,
it's going to happen. Yes. You know, your guides are very excited for you. Your angels are just jumping with joy. They're like clapping and happy. They're saying, just be your authentic self. You're going to have fun and just don't sweat it.
Yep. And for me, that Two of Wands and Three of Wands are saying it's only going to happen if you actually put yourself out there and go on dates. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to ding-dong go to the door and here's this perfect specimen wrapped up with a bow saying, hi, I'm your soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
You ready? Like, you're gonna have to put yourself out there first and be the one that goes
like,
on the hunt, so to speak.
Your angels show me a bird flying, like a bird jumping. I've had to do this already. It's a bird jumping out of a nest and flying, you know, spreading her wings and flying and taking that chance that going out there, you're going to be this beautiful person, this beautiful bird that attracts this energy. You know, that would be you.
Yeah, and you know what? There's this quote that I've heard and I thought was pretty cool. She's like, I don't seek, I attract. I attract.
Yes.
Or something like that. I really like that because
that's
it makes sense.
That's what you're going
to do. You know?
Make mm-hmm. that your motto. That's what you're going to do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much, Amy.
All right, well, thank you for calling. Blessings.
You too, bye.
All right, our next caller is 707. Hello, you're on the line with Amanda and Sharon. How are you, 707?
Great. How are you, ladies?
Good.
Doing just fine.
Wanted to see if I will be working in a clinic setting either September, October, part time.
And what's your name?
Valerie.
Okay. Let me see what we got. Well, you got the Queen of Swords, the Queen of Wands, and Temperance. So the fact that you have two
mm-hmm.
queens says yes. I think it's all about, like, the balance of what you love to do versus what you have to do. So I think, yes, you'll get there for sure. But then once you're in that position, even with it being part-time, really making sure your boundaries are very strong. Because I feel like it's going to be a job you like so much that you're going to want to put in more hours, but you're not going to be able to really handle all those extra hours. So,
it's like being your own boss, being your own boss, being the queen. You know, like she said, she got two queens, and she's saying make sure you watch your time, like keep those boundaries up.
Yeah, that's why I was just looking at part-time work. I'm not
mm-hmm.
really interested
mm-hmm.
in anything full-time at all.
Yeah.
The part-time.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I think it's going to be part-time, but I think you're going to enjoy the work so much that your mind is not going to be on, it's time for me to go home. You know what I mean? You're not going to be counting
right.
down the hours because you're going to enjoy it so much. So it's not about, you know, like I don't think you're ever going to want to work there full time, but I think you're going to lose track of time because you're going to enjoy yourself so much.
Yeah, because it's a job that I used to do. So I don't know if you pick that up.
Yeah, I think you're going to, I think it's going to be perfect.
The time frame?
I would say yes. I would say closer to like end of October though. The Queen of Wands and Swords are both fast moving for sure. So I think the only thing that would be tying you up is paperwork.
Okay. Great. I'll call
yeah.
back. Yeah, let you guys know. I was hoping it would be September, but if it's October, it's October.
Well, I
don't know
the work situation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear that. What was that?
Sorry.
It'll all get just, there. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's just a paperwork situation.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you
mm-hmm.
so much.
Yeah.
All right. Blessings.
Blessings.
Okay. We have another 636. You're on the line with Amanda and Sharon. How are you?
Hi. Good day, ladies.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I had a question for you. I'm trying to brainstorm some ideas. I'm kind of in a financial hardship at the moment. I created an LLC company, maybe 10 to 15 years ago, I affectionately call Emergent Servants. And the original plan was to go around doing the presentations. But in the day and age we have now with podcasts and YouTube channels, I wanted to see if you could provide some feedback as much as finding people who apply, you know, for grants to get these things launched off. Any feedback would be a better angle to start my idea without me giving you a long explanation. if you might think that the YouTube would be better or starting my own podcast would be a good approach to get this launched. It's very personal, what I've created many years ago to impact people who go through hardship and loss as like an additional work vacation time within their organizations that provides aids to coworkers. I was looking to see if you all could provide some feedback on that.
And the question is podcast or YouTube? That's the question?
Yes. And the second one would be if you guys know or could ask around about anyone who might know about how to apply for grants or people who will help mentor to write grants. I'm striking out just trying to find someone like a mentor to develop my ideas further until I can explore the options with the grants as well. Or you see someone in my future that might come through to help me get the podcast off the ground or the YouTube channel or just about the grants period, please.
Well, you have three pages that have popped up. So Page of Pentacles, Page of Wands, and Page of Swords. So for you to have all these pages popping out, to me, it's you're in the learning phase. And so I feel like it's more about you doing a little more research first and then trying to find those resources online, where you can reach out to someone and try to get that info. I would say books, reading other people's blogs. I feel like both YouTube and podcasts are good options. It feels like YouTube is going to be more profitable, but podcasts are going to be more fun. I think more because the podcast is just easier to produce. You don't really have to worry about, you know, video equipment or like your background or how you look because it's just audio. So that's going to be a little easier to get off the ground, the podcast. But I think the YouTube is going to be profitable. I think you can do both at the same time because you can create video content where you upload the video to YouTube and upload the audio to your podcast. So you can do both at the exact same time.
She nailed you right on the head because, you know, when you and I went over to the Grand Slam and we met Kyle and Kathy and you sat down with Kathy, you know, it really rang a bell. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, we're supposed to do a podcast and you're supposed to do a YouTube channel too. So they'll both help you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is just insightful because, like I said, the challenge is when I started this before, I didn't know all about the grants. But I also had a lot on my plate then. And then now that I live through the prophecy, what I was trying to create, I'm trying to learn to walk the line of how to better approach this without all my attachments on it that has gone through my life the last several years. I'm just trying to find balance in this. And it's just trying to just find other people in the open-minded community who might provide insight and positivity versus some of the negative experiences I've had. And this has just been really refreshing to have this opportunity to speak with both you ladies today. I'm grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I just want to thank you for taking me to the Grand Slammer. I wouldn't have reached out to Sharon here if it hadn't been for you. So, you know, you taking me there and me reconnecting with my old buddy, Kathy Hughes, and then meeting Kyle and then connecting with Sharon wouldn't have happened if it hadn't have been for you. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Ladies, I hope you both have a great week, and I look forward to calling the show sometime again soon. Thanks so much.
All right.
Have a great day.
Blessing. Okay. We have area code 612. You're on the line with Amanda and Sharon. How are you?
Hi. My name is Kathy, and I have a question. Where am I holding myself back? I'm wanting someone in my life, but I guess you kind of read it when you said before some things to someone, and I've been through a lot, and I'm ready to kind of start over. A little hesitant, you can hear, but just not sure where I'm going.
Okay. So you just want to know kind of next steps?
Yeah, I'm putting my life back together, and I guess what do I need to do now? Because I guess if I don't do that, you know, not the right person or the right thing's going to happen because I'm not ready.
Yep. No, I totally get it. Let's see what we got. Oh, interesting. Well, so we got the Five of Swords, the Eight of Cups, and the Seven of Swords. The Five of Swords is telling me that you're in your head too much. It feels like you're trying to control
what happens next. And so you're in your mind weighing, if I do this, then maybe this, 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 this. And if I do this, then maybe this, 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 this. And so you're all in your head envisioning all these different ways, these different paths that lay out in front of you and what could happen. And what's happening is you're spending so much of your time envisioning this stuff in your head, you're not being present and living your life. And just being in the
here.
You need
to do that.
Not caring about tomorrow,
right.
And not caring about last week, just being super present. So that Eight of Cups is saying you've got to leave that behind. Leave behind the attachment to outcome and what you want to happen, and just focus on being happy in the here and now and doing things that bring you joy right here, right now, and appreciating, you know, the sunny skies and, you know, the flowers and the breeze on a hot day and your cup of coffee while it's hot. And then we have the Seven of Swords, which is all about things being hidden, information that's hidden. And I think you've been spending so much time trying to uncover what the future holds, that's why it's hard for you to be present. But to me, this card says, it's supposed to be a surprise. Can't you just live your life and appreciate the being present and let the universe surprise you with some good things? Like, don't ruin the surprise kind of a thing is what I'm getting.
I think some of it is, yep. is that I guess I'm afraid, yeah, that we're not going to, that I'm not going to find the right person, that it's going to take so much fact of what I study and things like that if we're going to be compatible.
And I think, so one of the techniques that I give my clients when we identify a fear is to peel back the layers of the onion one at a time. So the fear is you're not going to find that person, right? So then we ask ourselves, why is that scary? So then ask yourself, would it really be so horrible being on your own? You know what I mean? So, like, the more you can kind of ask, so then why? So then why? So what's the worst-case scenario from that? And what's the worst-case scenario from that? And I think once you get down to the heart of it, it's could you be happy just in your life the way it is right now with just you? And if the answer is no, then to me, your next step is figuring out how can you be happy with just you, yourself, and I. And the minute you
right.
have solved that question, that's when the other person will come in. Because otherwise, you're going to be pinning all of your hopes and fears onto someone else. And you're going to be expecting that person to fill a hole within you that you should be filling yourself. Does that make sense?
Did you say the minute that I have questions, that's when they'll come in?
The minute you answer the question about
okay,
can
got
I
it,
be happy just by myself. Mm-hmm.
When I know what I want.
Yes, you can be happy being single and being with yourself and spending time with yourself and with your wife. Then I think you'll find someone that just fits in nicely. Because otherwise I feel like you're trying to mold yourself to someone else instead of building your own life and then finding someone that fits in with yours.
Because I guess I'm not happy with where I'm at a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm happy with being by myself, but so I'm being selective about who can come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you're allowed to be selective, for sure. We're not going to settle. But I feel like this Seven of Swords to me says that the universe has some stuff in the works behind the scenes, and they don't want you peeking behind the curtain.
Okay, that there's someone there. I just need to discuss
yeah.
my plan, the universe's
yeah.
plan.
Yep.
Do you do like, readings over the phone ever?
Do I do readings over the phone?
Yeah, since I'm long distance.
Oh, yeah. Almost all of my readings are Zoom. So if you go to blueempresstarot.com, you can click book a reading, and all my dates and times are available, and they're all Zoom readings. I have clients
yeah.
in Washington State all the way to the United Kingdom and everywhere in between. That Zoom is the best way because then I can service
wonderful.
Different clients.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kathy. Blessings. Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your support.
Thank you.
All right. Check out Sharon Blues, readings online. Check out her event. She's a wonderful person. Check out her beautiful book she has. Sharon, I want to thank you for coming on and being patient with me as we got through all the callers. And thank you so much for coming on today.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much for having me, Amanda. It's been so much fun and such a pleasure.
All right. Blessings. Have a good day, everybody.
Human, there's a thought, now you decide. Compassion in the jungle, compassion in the jungle.